this afternoon, so come on, man.
All right. Now, what basketball team? That's right, girls basketball team. All right, girls, if you'll meet me afterwards, I'll show you how to keep them down where they can't score any points. The fellow that I was playing against this morning, his name's Odie. I'll never forget it. His name was Odie, and he got to where he was afraid to jump. You'll catch that if you play basketball. But he almost took a swing at me. But anyway, I want you to know something, Brother Cruz. You don't like sitting up here? All right. Brother, I want you to know something. Because of that long song service this morning, I missed the first half of that game. Well, wasn't that singing good? It was good tonight, brother. You did a good job on that. The girls, hold up your hands. All right. Okay, girls, you did a great job. God bless you. And I'm so glad. So it was so good to hear you. Everybody just sang so good tonight. I just couldn't help it, Brother Cruz. I said, man, let's just sing that chorus. Everybody was just singing out and having a good time. And we praise God for it. Miss Sonia, has Pastor done better? A little bit better? All right. Are we on the radio? We are? Okay, Pastor, you're doing a little bit better. We're glad. We're going to pray for you. We love you. And I've already been told by one of the dear ladies tonight that I'm not near as good a preacher as you are. Who said that? Amen. Oh, man, I've watched you. You amen everything. All right. No, I had a lady walk up to me a while ago, and she told me, I'm from Iowa, and she said, I enjoyed that this morning. She said, I'm a sports fan, too. Where are you? Oh, there you are. All right. And she said, you know, I just can't wait now tonight. She said, my Dallas Cowboys are playing football. Well, God bless you. I want you to know something. I'll try to get you out by the first half, but that long music program, I don't know. All right. Okay, I'm kidding with you. I'll never forget years ago, Wally Beebe was sitting next to Jacob Gardenhouse. You'd have to know Jacob Gardenhouse. He was an old Jew, head of the Jewish International Board of Jewish Missions. And he was an old fella, but he was a Jew from head to toe, older fella. And he was sitting in a seat down in First Baptist Church of Ruskin at a conference, and Dr. Bob Gray was preaching, and he was preaching, and when he preaches, sometimes you think it's for eternity, or, you know, of course, he's in heaven today, but anyway, he was preaching, and he went on and on and on and on, and Jacob Gardenhouse looked at Wally Beebe, and he said, my God, he said, that man don't know when to stop. And Brother Beebe said, well, Brother Gardenhouse, he said, you want me to wave my watch at him? And he said, no, 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 get a calendar. So our dear lady from Iowa back here, if I get to going too long, wave your watch at me, will you? Okay, I'll try to get. All right, God bless you. It's been a good service, and I appreciate the pastor allowing me to come and preach. I really enjoy being here. The Lord worked it out for some reason. I was supposed to be in Leesburg this morning, and the Lord worked it out to where someone else said, hey, I'm going to go to Leesburg, take them in. And so Brother Carter called me and says, are you available tomorrow? And I said, I sure am. And I'm glad. I love this church, and I love you people. And this is a great church, and we have a great pastor, and we thank God for everything. If you will, please, I want you to look. I'm going to just really have a little fun tonight. Let's look at Matthew chapter number 16, and verse number 18. Chapter 16, verse number 18. And our 16, chapter 16, verse number 18. Look at it. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, what the Lord is saying now, let's don't get mixed up here. What the Lord is saying, Peter, you're a pebble. You're a pebble. But he's saying, upon this rock, Jesus Christ, I will build my church. He didn't say he would build it on Peter. That's a lie. And he said, I'll build the church. Then if you go over to the book of Ephesians, chapter number five in the book of Ephesians, and verse number 25, I believe it is, 5:25. Yeah, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. Now look at that. He said, the Bible says right here that Christ loved the church, does it not? Now it's talking about a local church right here. No doubt about it, it's a local church like Landmark Baptist Church. He said he loved the church and gave himself for it. Now listen, folks, to give your life for something, you have to love it. Amen. Now if Christ loved this church so much that he gave himself for it, don't you think we ought to love it? Amen. I mean, listen, you know, there's very few people I'd give my life for. You know, I'd do for my family, my children, no doubt, loved ones, but for some old bum out on the road or just for somebody here that I don't know, I doubt very seriously I'd give my life. But the Lord said he gave his life for the church. So if he did, that means it's very important. Then if you go over to the book of Acts chapter number two, and let's look at verse number 42, Acts chapter number two, verse number 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold the possessions of goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church. That's a local church. He added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now, folks, listen, I love my church. I pastored for 30 years in Tampa. I loved it. I love pastoring. I miss pastoring even to this day, but God put me in something else. It would take me 100 lifetimes pastoring a church to accomplish what the Lord has allowed me to be involved in now. I mean, people are being saved. There's a church being built somewhere in this world every day because of the ministry that the Lord has given to us, and I thank the Lord for that. But I do miss the church. I miss pastoring, and I'm thankful to God that I'm able to stand here tonight, that your pastor would call me and say, Brother Scotty, I'm sick and I need help, and would you preach for me? And I'm glad to be here. I'm glad because I love this church. You see, I've been a member here now, 11 or 12 years? And I love it. I love our pastor. I love him. I've known him for many years, probably close to 50 years. Miss Sonia, you remember when we went to Israel together back in the early 70s it was. And we went, I'll never forget your husband preaching on the Sea of Galilee. And I was on the bow of the boat with Zev Gill, led him to Jesus Christ while our pastor was preaching on the Sea of Galilee. Zev died not long ago, Miss Sonia. He died just a few months ago of liver cancer, but right up until the time he died, we'd call at least once a month. And he said, Brother Scotty, he said, I want you to know I believe exactly like you do, exactly like you do. A Jew. He was a famous Jew. He was the first man that landed behind the Egyptian lines in the Six-Day War. It made him a national hero. You remember that. And he had the newspaper to prove it, the Jerusalem Post. And so God really blessed, and we praise the Lord. I'll never forget that, though. I'll never forget the pastor preaching while I was witnessing to him. That meant so much to me, and it does to this day. But I love this church. I love this church, and you know, I've read books. When I first went into the ministry, I read books on how to build a church. I mean, I read Jack Hiles' books on it. I read Lee Robertson's books. I did everything I could. I wanted to know exactly how to build a church. But you know what I found out? I found out that the Word of God is the best book to read to find out how to build a church. And that's what I want to talk to you tonight. I want to talk to you about this way right here of building a church. You see, God's got his ways, and you can't improve on it. Now, God ordained three things. Number one, he ordained the government. To be frank with you, I don't have much confidence in the government that we have today. But that's all right. He still ordained government. Secondly, he ordained a family. He ordained the family. Now, I love my family. I thank God for my children. I thank God for Barbara. And I love my family. I love my family growing up. My mom, my dad, my sister, my brothers. My brother's back here in the back. I love my family. God ordained the family. But you know, God ordained the church too. He ordained the church. Someone said, well, you know, he the family comes before the church. You don't understand the word of God. Probably God and Adam met before he ever had Eve. He always had a meeting place. And brother, I want you to know today it's the church. The church. It's right here. It's us. We're the people. And brother, I want you to know I love the church because Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. I remember reading one time, I heard of a billboard in Georgia. It went something like that. It said, Christianity is our business. We farm peanuts to pay expenses. You know that's the way it ought to be? If you're a plumber, you ought to go out and do plumbing to pay expenses of being a Christian. If you're a carpenter, you ought to be able to hammer nails to pay expenses for being a Christian. It doesn't matter what you are, it ought to be to pay expenses for belonging to this church and serving the Lord right here at Landmark Baptist Church. That ought to be your responsibility. Now, I heard Tom Malone preach several years ago. I heard him preach something here. It was East Sly Avenue Baptist Church in Tampa. I heard him make a statement. He said there's a church, there's a little store, and I believe he said it was in Kentucky. He was pastor near Louisville, Kentucky, Layman. You went to that church. And he said there was a little store, and the little store had a big sign on it that said this, there's no place like this place anywhere near this place. This must be the place. Now, I like that. I like that. You know something? I feel that way about this church. There's no place like this place, anywhere near this place. This must be the place. This dear lady that raised her hand from Iowa, I said, do you come here just for the winter? And she said, yes. I said, well, you come to the right place. Because there's no place like this place, anywhere near this place. This must be the place. And Sam, I see you and Marlene. You come down here every year, and I want you to know something. There's no place like this place, anywhere near this place, so this must be the place. You know, that's the way we ought to feel about our church. Is that right? Hey, listen, I want you to know something. We ought to leave here tonight, and we ought to be able to say to ourselves, you know, there's just no place like Landmark Baptist Church. There's no place like that place, anywhere near that place. That's got to be the place. Folks, I don't know of any, you know what? When I pastored a church in Tampa, people would call me up and say, well, I live in so-and-so and so-and-so. I live on the other side of town. Where's a good church? I said, there's not one. You have to drive across town and come to ours. Because there was no place like that place anywhere near that place. And that's the way I feel about this. Haines City, in fact, you know, Winter Haven, all these other places. There's just no place like this place anywhere near this place, Brother Perkins. This has got to be the place. Now, you say, why, Brother Scotty? Because the Bible says so. Here's why. Let me give them to you. First of all, there's no place like this place because we got the right doctrine. The Bible tells you right here, if you'll check your Bible, you'll find out that they stood for the apostles' doctrine. And we ought to be able to say, hey, I know my preacher. My preacher, brother, he's sound. I know he'll stand on the word of God. I know he'll stand on the truth. I want you to know something, folks. The apostles' doctrine is what makes you and I a Baptist. That's why we're Baptist tonight. That's why we're not Catholic. And by the way, I can show you wherever other denominations started, but you can't show me where the Baptists started unless you want to go to the New Testament with the apostles. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Hey, we've got the right doctrine, brother. Hey, we believe, friend of mine, that God Almighty created the heavens and earth. Is that right? I don't believe in this Big Bang theory and all that stuff that these people are putting out, all this greenhouse gas. I want you to know God can wash it away with one good hurricane. Oh, listen to me. Hey, the Lord came, brother. God Almighty himself came. He was born of a virgin. He laid in a manger. He grew up to be 33 years old. He never sinned one time. He was taken and crucified. His blood was shed for you and for me. He was buried, and on the third day, he arose again. And he's living today. He's right now on the right hand of God the Father interceding for you and I. Brother, that's the gospel. And I'm a pre-trib man, too. I believe Jesus is coming again, and when he comes, he's going to take us out of here. Brother, we're going to get up and we're going to go that quick, and it could be tonight. It could be tonight. Are you ready? I'm ready. Are you ready? Oh, listen to me. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And I want you to know, you'll find out in that portion of scripture, the other thing that makes this church the right church is we've got a church that prays. But not only that, God answers our prayers. You know, I believe I have a God that answers prayers. You know, I believe he hears our prayers. The Bible says he's here. You know, they talk about kicking God out of schools. You're not kicking God out of anything. God's too big to be kicked out of somewhere. Oh, they stand up. We're going to put God out of the schools. We're going to do this. Hey, God's right there. He's here. He's there. He's everywhere. He's everywhere at the same time. That's God. He's all powerful. That's God. He's the one that can spit this earth out into existence. He's the one that can take nothing and make something out of it. Only Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. He was the God-man. He was God manifested in the flesh. And brother, we've got the right thing. Hey, listen, there's no place like this place, anywhere near this place, because of answered prayer. You know, I had a children's home when I was in Tampa. And the most we ever had in that home was about 44. And you've heard the pastor talk about it. Him and I were fighting the government about the same time. And part of it was over that children's home. But I remember one night I got a call late at night. Harper, you probably remember this. Late at night, I got a call, and it was a call and said this. Said, are you Scotty Drake? I said, yes. Said, don't you have the children home? I said, yes, sure do. She said, listen, there's a semi-truck that just turned over out here, and it's full of orange juice, and most of it didn't break. Would you like to have that? I said, well, just a second, I'll call, and I'll find out. So I called the children's home. His name was Bobby Olson. I said, Bobby, I just got a call. I said, somebody said a semi-truck turned over with orange juice in it, and it's all a bunch of, most of it's good, and they wanted to know if you wanted it out there. And he said, well, sure. So I hung up, and I called the lady back, and I said, yeah, we want the orange juice. And about that time, the phone rang again. It was Bobby from the children's home. He said, Brother Scott, are you sitting down? I said, well, I need to sit down for her. He said, I want to tell you something. I said, what's that? He said, we've been praying for 2 weeks that God give us orange juice, and he's given us a whole semi-truck full. Hey, you know something? God answers prayer. I believe all you have to do is pray right now. Hey, listen to me. God had to take and turn a semi-truck over to get those kids and answer their prayers. And they had more orange juice than they could ever drink. God's good. I mean, he answers prayer. But not only that, friend of mine, we talk about giving right here. The Bible talks about giving. If you read that portion of Scripture, it talks about how they gave. Gave. Did you know giving? You can't outgive God. We're talking about missions. You can't outgive God. If you can outgive God, the Bible's not true. The Bible is true. You cannot outgive God. God, like Brother Cham says, will give more through you than he will to you. If you get it and you keep it, you choke up. But brother, when you keep giving it, God just keeps pouring it back. You can't outgive God. There's just no way. Did you know something? There's a difference between communism and Christianity. You know that? Did you know communism says, what's yours is mine? Christianity says, what's mine is yours. Boy, that's a little different than Washington, D.C., isn't it? I mean, you know, Washington, D.C. is saying, hey, what you've got, we're going to give it to other people. Brother, that's a form of communism. Amen, amen, and amen. And I believe if our pastor was here, he'd tell you the same thing. Hey, listen, what sharing, giving, that's what the Bible says. Hey, that's what makes this church a great church, is we give. And you got to keep on giving. We got to give. I mean, give. And brother, you'll get. You can't outgive God. It's more blessed to give than to receive, according to the Word of God. But then again, there's fear. Fear, we find out fear. You know, there's a problem we've got today. People don't fear God like they used to. You stop and think about it. If people feared God like they did, like they used to, we'd have as many here on Sunday night and Wednesday nights as we got Sunday morning. Amen. That's right. Praise God. Hey, fear. People don't fear God. I wonder, do people really believe there's a judgment? I want you to know the Bible says, and so every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Amen. We're going to stand before God. It doesn't matter who you are. I know it's the Bema seat. I know all about it, but I know also that the Bible says we're going to stand before him and give an account. Yes, sir. I believe people don't have fear about giving an account. I do. It scares me to death to think of all the dumb things I've done in my life, and I've got to stand before God and answer for them. Amen. People don't believe in hell. I've witnessed to people and said, wouldn't you like to get saved? No, no, no. I said, well, you don't believe in hell. Oh, yeah, I do. Yeah, I do. No, you don't. If you believe there's a literal hell and that you're on your way there, you'd get out. Amen. I mean, a man would be a fool that would die and go to hell. Amen. Fear. But not only that, friend of mine, hey, listen, you know, we got to be careful about this matter of fear. You know, one time, and I've got my wife here. She'll tell you, Barbara, I'm not lying, am I? Now, Barbara won't lie to you. But I was in church one time. This lady come up to me, and she said, Brother Scotty, she said, my son's going to be here. My son, he's never been here before, and he's going to come to church today. He's going to come to church. And boy, I said, praise God. And I got up, and I started to preach. Right in the middle of my message, he got up and walked out. I didn't know till after the service what he did. He looked at his mother and he said, I don't have to sit here and listen to that. And he got up and walked out. They found him 3 days later, dead, an overdose in a motel room over on Del Mar. Hey, you better fear God. When it comes to the house of God, brother, when it comes to the things of God, you better have some fear about you. God knows how to pluck your rooster. He can make your rooster go cock-a-doodle-doo. Oh, listen, we got a great God, a great God. But not only that, friend of mine, the Bible talks about signs and miracles, signs and wonders, the Bible says. You know something, you ought to have something going on. Boy, I praise God for the tent. I like that. Amen. I like it. I hope he does it again next year. I wish I'd have been here for every service. That's great, having a tent out there and preaching, and then the big day you have over here, man, that's great. Do things. You say, well, that's bribing. You know, I've had preachers, you're bribing them. You know, bribing, you know what that means? That means paying somebody to do something wrong. You with me on that? Let me tell you something. When you get a kid to try to do something right, that's not bribery. Man, listen, get them here. Get them under the Word of God. You've heard me tell the story. I think that's the one you wanted me to tell the last time. The craziest thing I ever did in my life. I think have I told it here? I may have. I like it. I've heard the preacher say, I like it. I'm going to tell it again. Listen, so help me, we had a big day. I was pastoring a church and we had a big day. And boy, the big day was the Golden Gate Speedway. They had a big speedway out north of town. And it was called the Golden Gate Speedway. And so I set that thing up with the people that owned it and a deputy sheriff. And I said, man, we want to take the kids out there after church and we want to go around that speedway with those buses. And we had over 30 buses. Yeah, over 30 of them. And listen, over 1,000 boys and girls on those buses. And it came time for the big day. Man, we had church, we had kids everywhere. I mean, everybody was excited. We got the buses, we got in the bus. I got on one, I said, this is gonna be fun. I got on the bus and away we went to the Golden Gate Speedway. And we got on that track and I'm telling you, 30 buses, old buses, like the ones we got here. And we started around that, we started around that speedway, and boy, them boys and girls, and all at once those kids started saying, go, go, go. And those crazy bus drivers, they got this funny glazy look in their eyes. And you could see them squeeze the steering wheel, and they start going a little bit faster. And those kids are, go, go, go. And the more they would say it, the more of those bus drivers got crazy looking in their eyes, I'm telling you. And all at once, those buses were going as fast as they could go. Now, you take 30 buses going about 45 miles an hour, that makes you think you're going about 140. And here I am on there, and these kids hollering, go, 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 and these crazy bus drivers, man, they're glued to it, and they're going around. And boy, it got so sticky that the sheriff, man, he got off of the road. I mean, he did. He really did. And I'm saying, oh, Lord, please, if you let us out of here, I'll never do it again. I promise, dear God, I promise. Oh, listen to me. Hey, listen to me. Hey, I want you to know something. Them boys and girls will never forget it. They'll never forget it. And neither will I. You know, kids are something. They're really something. I remember I was preaching one time, a little boy's girl. We used to have them sit in there, and one little old boy come up to me, and he said, preacher, he said, I want to get saved. I said, well, okay. I said, do you know where you're going to go when you die? And he said, yes, sir. I said, where's that? He said, Alabama. They're honest. They're honest as they can be. I had one come up to me. I was getting ready to preach. He come up to me and grabbed me by the coattail, and I said, what does she want, young man? He said, where's the bathroom? I remember one time old Bob Gray was talking, and he said he got up and he got a note just before the service, and it said, Johnny's daddy is waiting for him at the back door. They're going out of town, and he needs to meet his daddy right away. So he read it. They found little Johnny, and they took him out to the back and put him with his daddy. And they went on, had the song service, and Dr. Gray got up to preach. He said he got up to preach, and he said, little boy, got up out of the balcony. He said he began to walk down. He said he walked right on down. And he said, here I am now, preaching. And he said, little old boy walks up, and he grabs me by the coattail. He said, here I am trying to preach. He said, that boy's just yanking on my coattail. And finally, he stopped and he said, son, what is it you want? He said, well, I just want to tell you, if my daddy comes looking for me, I'm going to be sitting right up there. You know, wouldn't this old place be something without kids, huh? Wouldn't it be something without boys and girls? Ah, praise God for them boys. Hey, bus captains, listen, every Sunday morning, Barbara and I are sitting there, and we'll hear the buses crank up, and Barbara says, there goes the buses. Praise God for the little boys and girls. Praise God. Listen to me. One day, bus captain, let me tell you something, bus captains, they know you better than they know the preacher probably. Are you listening, bus captains? Listen, I've got people that are grown now, grown and probably have children and grandchildren that'll call me up and wanting to know where their bus captain lives when they were kids. Oh, listen to me, those boys and girls, God bless their hearts. Listen, be faithful to God. Bus captains, bus drivers, be faithful to God. One of these days, they'll look you up and they'll say, thank you. Thank you. Oh, friend of mine, listen to me. You're right here, the signs and wonders. Listen, we need something. I mean, keep it going. Come into this church. Hey, you come into church expecting things to happen. I've always said, people didn't come to hear me preach. They come to see what was going to happen. That's the way it ought to be. I mean, come here. Thank God we got a man that stands and preaches. But listen, hey, things ought to happen. You come expecting, thank God, to do great things here at Landmark Baptist Church. He wants to do great things here, and he's going to do great things here.
Amen.
Oh, listen, just be faithful to God. But not only that, we find out if you read that portion of scripture I just read, that there was no place like that place, anywhere near that place, because of the gladness. Did you know gloominess is a contradiction to Christianity? You say what you want to, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. I mean, you ought to smile. You know, Sam, you and Marlene, I almost hate for wintertime to get over up north. I miss you. I mean, I'm sitting back there, and every time we go to shake hands, here comes Sam. And that's Miss Marlene. Every time they come back down here, snowbirds, I know, even they're Yankees, I understand that. But they're good Yankees, you know? But man, she gets right up here in the choir, and he stands out there, and he's got a big old smile coming back and shaking people's hands. I miss you when you're gone. Hey, listen, we all ought to be that way, amen? I mean, listen, you ought to be missed when you're not here. Oh, listen, gloominess. You want to be glad. The Bible says be glad. I'll never forget the first time I saw somebody happy. I was at a camp meeting in Greer. Never forget it. Dr. Seidler went by his church. He had me preach up at his church. He said, I want you to go to a camp meeting with me. He had an old gravelly voice. Great preacher. One of the greatest. And I went to the camp meeting with him. It had sawdust and everything. And I'll never forget, they had this group singing. And this group, they was up there and they were singing about heaven. I mean, they were good. The Burns sisters, I found out later, was their name, the Burns sisters. And they were singing, boy, it was beautiful. And people were praising God and raising their hands. It was an old camp meeting. I'd never been to one before. I'd never seen anything like it in my life. I mean, people waving their hands, people praising God. I'd never seen anything like that. And all at once I saw this old man. I know he had to be almost as old as me. That's old as dirt. But he came, and they had old poles. It was not like these over here, but they had old big poles like that holding up the tent. And they had rafters. Had rafters holding up that thing. And that old man went up the pole, so help me, I'm telling the truth. And he got on the rafter, and while they were singing, he was swinging. Sitting on the rafter. And I'm looking. I'm saying, he's going to fall off and kill himself. And the old lady next door, she hit me like that. I mean, she had a good elbow, boy. And I looked at her and I said, yes, ma'am. She said, see that fella up there? I said, ma'am, I can't help but see him. She said, you see that lady up there singing on the right? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, that's his daughter. And the one in the middle is his daughter. And the fellow playing the piano is his son. And the other lady is his daughter. I started crying. I said, dear Lord, if you let me see my kids serving you when they get that age, I'm gonna go climb that pole. I'm gonna get on that rafter and I'm gonna swing. Folks, listen to me. God wants to do great things. God wants to do great things for your family. Keep your family in the house of God. But not only that, you'll find out they were praising God. And we're going to go right on. And I want the dear lady to get home and watch her football game. So I'm going to hurry. And then the other thing, they had favor with all the people. Listen to me, folks. People all over Haines City ought to be able to say, yeah, I know about that Landmark Baptist Church. You know what they ought to be able to say? If you go down to that church, you might get religion. No, if you go down to that church, you might get saved. This is the church. I mean, people all over this area, they ought to be able to say, hey, I hear that guy on the radio. If I go down there, I might get saved. You better believe it, folks. I want you to stop. There's no place like this place anywhere near this place. This must be the place. But then let's go on. The Bible says they added unto the church daily such as should be saved. There's the key. It's right there. The Lord added daily. Folks, I could go on and tell you stories about people that came to church, walked in the church for the first time, and came down with a broken heart and trusted Christ as their Savior because they had the right kind of a church. I had one lady, never forget it, never saw her before. She came in, sat down in the back. I gave the invitation. She came down the aisle. She trusted Christ. They led her to the Lord. She was baptized. The next morning, I'm in the office. I get a call from this lady. Is this the preacher? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, are you going to be there for a while? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, well, don't leave. I'm coming to see you. I'm thinking, oh, Lord. I go out to my secretary. I said, listen, I think this lady, I think she got a mental problem or something. She's coming to see me, so be on the lookout for her. She came in, tears in her eyes. And she said, I'm from New Jersey. I had to drive 1,300 miles to get saved. I said, praise God. Praise God. Folks, there's no place like